How many of you realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dominions in heavenly places? How many realize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through tearing down strongholds? It's time for all believers to quit battling people. We get upset with someone, we get mad at someone, somebody does something to us. It's natural, humanly, to get even. It's unnatural to love and forgive.
That's right.
And so, personality conflicts, interpersonality relationships can really hinder what God wants to do. People are not our enemies. The enemy is our enemy.
Amen.
And I don't even know why I'm saying that. That just came to me this morning, that we just need to be focusing on God and His love for people. How many believe that?
Amen.
How many say that's what I want to do?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. Turn with me to Acts 26. I'd like to begin with verse number 10. Paul's talking about his conversion. But it's the end of this whole thing in verse number 18 is where we're going to kind of put down roots this morning. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Sounds like somebody that should have been stoned. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to my heavenly vision. How many people do you know that think they're doing right, that think they're living right, that think even God is on their side? They say, I even believe in God. But they really don't have a clue what living for Jesus Christ and living for our Heavenly Father is all about. How many people do we know that they think they have it all together? Nothing missing, nothing lacking. But yet, when you look deep into their lives, because you know them, God is missing. Saul was a very, very, very religious man. He did everything he could to quench the cult that they felt was Jesus Christ. They did everything they could to kill them, Christians. In fact, as the Bible tells us, that when Stephen was stoned, Saul held the coats of those throwing stones. And yet, for some unknown reason, as we look at it, he's going on the road to Damascus With what intent? He had papers from the authorities to take out the believers in Christ. And on that road, he has a God encounter. And Jesus speaks to him. He falls to the ground. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul responds, and we know if I call him Paul, you'll understand, because his name was changed. And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? Anybody know what a goad is? A goad was a long stick with a sharp end they used to prod the oxen with. So God is telling Saul, your resistance to what I want to do is like an ox that needs to be prodded along. And so we know in Acts chapter 9 that God sends Ananias to Paul. And Ananias says, "I don't want to go. Look at the number of people he's killed. Look what he's done to people." And God says, "Go, for he's a chosen vessel, and I will show him the many things he must suffer for my name." You know, it's hard to be a soldier if you don't have directions. It's hard to work for a boss that never tells you what to do. It's very difficult to fulfill somebody's expectations if you have no clue what they are. Husbands, maybe at times you need to tell your wife your expectations. "But she knows, she's lived with me for 20 years. That's the problem. And so God lays out, and I'm going to cut this a little short. God lays out a ministry set aside for Saul or Paul. And it ties in exactly with what he wants us to do. Will you smile if I have you stand up while I'm preaching? Christ's message to Paul began, "I appeared to you for this purpose. I've appeared to you for this purpose." Listen, you got saved for a purpose. You came to Christ for a purpose. You were filled with the Holy Spirit for a purpose. God just never touched your life and said, "Go do what you want." He's designed it out, as you've heard over and over and over again. I want you to be a minister and a witness. I want you to serve me. I want you to proclaim what I've done for you, and I want you to proclaim the gospel. And then he goes on to tell Paul this, and this is where I want to hang my hat this morning. He says, "I want you to open their eyes because I'm sending you to the Jew and to the Gentile. I want you to open their eyes." The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world has blinded the mind so they will not receive the light of the glorious gospel. The God of this world has blinded people's minds. Okay, look at me. So how much good does it do to yell at them for being what they are without understanding what you're telling them, for them not realizing this gift of salvation. They're blinded. They can't take hold of it. And God is telling Paul, I want you to go to those people, Gentiles and Jews, and I want you to open their eyes. I want them to see. I want them to realize what's going on. In order to turn them from darkness to light. In order to turn them from spiritual darkness to the light of the revelation who Jesus Christ is. Light reveals. So as we live this life, we all want to see supernatural miracles. We all want to see God move. I love to hear people healed. I love to hear the testimonies. But the commission that God has given us, you'll be filled with the Spirit and you'll be a witness unto me. People need to hear in this miracle phenomenon that God is doing that they still need Jesus. They still need Jesus. They still need a life in Jesus Christ. They need to feel the presence of God making them aware of their sins and opening their eyes to who Jesus Christ is and getting them out of the darkness and getting them out of the things that is killing them. You see, everyone, and people don't get it. Christians don't get it. Everyone not living for Jesus is living for the devil.
That's right.
You say, but they don't act like it. Doesn't matter. There's only two sides.
That's right.
If you're not on God's side, you're on Satan's side.
That's right.
If you're not embracing Jesus Christ and the witness and living for him, the people out there are living for the devil and they're doomed.
That's right.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Otherwise, God lied. And so we need to get in them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, making them aware that Satan has blinded them and they need to see and opening their eyes and setting them free. It's true. Don't buy into a universal gospel. Don't buy into the fact that everybody saved. Well, God's not going to send anybody to hell. That's the deception of the devil, and it's a lie from the pit of hell, and the Bible even teaches us it's not true. If that were true, why have a great white throne judgment? Oh, that's just a myth. Can't believe Revelation. Oh, you can't, huh? Same Holy Spirit that wrote Revelation, the same Holy Spirit that wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You can't believe any of that if you can't believe Revelation. Come on. We got to be smarter than that. We got to be spiritually aware of the lies of the devil.
Amen.
We need to understand that there's one way, and everybody's not in that way. For the path is narrow, but the way to hell is broad. Or Jesus lied. And so he says, in order to turn them from darkness to light, now listen to this, and from the power of Satan to God. People not living for Christ are under the power and the control of the devil. If that sounds too hard for you, then talk to God, not me. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Thank God for mercy. But we need to understand that for people to experience God's grace, his mercy, his compassion, they need to accept Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, and I was working on this morning, and all of a sudden a light bulb went on. As he sent the disciples out on a commission, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse a leper. How many realize that? Do you realize that every one of the things that he told his disciples to do was intended to destroy the kingdom of the devil? I want you to get that. Everything that Jesus commissioned and ordained his disciples to do in healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, casting out demons, was a frontal attack on the kingdom of Satan. Think about it. Jesus' intention was to destroy. And he said, I have come to destroy the devil. Another place in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it, he said, I come to destroy the works of the devil. Look at me for a moment. You cannot counsel a demon. Hello? You can't counsel a demon. And so many of our churches are turning to counseling. Counseling doesn't misplace or take the place of deliverance. Counseling doesn't take the place of deliverance. You can try to help someone, you can try to counsel someone, but we need the spiritual wisdom of God to understand if that's an evil spirit or a mental problem. And maybe they're synonymous. Hello? And we need to come to a place through the power of the Holy Spirit that we break the power of Satan in people's lives. We do it. Now you say, is that possible? I'm always amazed by the maniac of a good area, okay? I'm always amazed. You would think, now think just logically, okay? Turn off your spiritual antennas, the same, well, Pastor going to make a mistake here? Maybe. Give you something to chew on all week. If these demons are so powerful and they were legion, my name is legion, remember?
Yes.
How many is in a legion? 10,000? 1,000? Somewhere in there. Come on, Stan, help me out.
A lot of them.
So Jesus steps on the shore where the maniac of Gadara is, and why didn't he run away? If these demons were that powerful and that smart, why didn't they drive him the opposite way? He come to Jesus. We okay?
Yeah.
Got you thinking? Because I want you to know something, the love of Jesus Christ that was in him drew them, even the demons, to himself. The power of Jesus drew them. The compassion of Jesus drew them. They could not keep this man away from Christ. I want to tell you something. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes you need another person to be praying with you. But every single demon is subject to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I remember one time, Kirk and I might have been before he was married. We were up in Saskatoon. This gal comes forward. She wants her knees healed, I think. Anyway, you were on your knees praying for her knee. And really, she had a demon. And she almost started to throw up on a poor little guy's head. I was in outside Acapulco in a community called Costa Chica. And we had been going there for years with Richard and Marilyn. Now, this might not be pretty, but don't let anything surprise you. Because this was deeper than my theology and deeper than my beliefs. I would have done something really weird if I'd known this was going to happen. Because I read Don Basham's book on Deliver Us from Evil and the demons he cast out, and I kind of said, yeah. You know, evangelists kind of exaggerate like preachers do. So we're in Costa Chica, and the pastor's wife, who had just been healed of some things last time we were there, came up and said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. So I begin to pray with her. Glad Kirk wasn't on his knees. And all of a sudden, she threw up all this green, slimy stuff. And almost everyone we prayed for in that meeting who came forward for healing threw up that green, slimy stuff. I tried to pick it up. You couldn't. I tried to pick it up with a napkin. But they were healed. Whatever it wasn't from God. And so there are times I have to lay aside my own personal ideas of what this is like. I met one face to face when a Satanist came in many years ago, sat in my office, and Satan picked him up and threw him off a chair. But you know something? Every one of these people were free. Let's not be afraid of what the devil's going to do. Let's embrace what God wants to do. Let's just embrace what God is doing. Turn them from power of Satan to God that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That word forgiveness actually means to be released from. Okay, look at me. How many of you have been forgiven? How many of you absolutely realize you've been released from that? You're released. You're free. Absolutely released from the past and the sins and the failures. It's not there. That's a message that Paul got. That's the message that we're getting. Go out there and release people from their sins. Go out there and set them free. Go out there and tell them, it doesn't matter you were an abuser. It doesn't matter you were a druggie. It doesn't matter you were an alcoholic. It doesn't matter you were homosexual. It doesn't matter what you were. You are now a child of God.
Amen.
You know, if you're human, how many of you are human? You most likely, like me, and I'll admit it, there are some things I struggle with as far as forgiveness. There are some sins that you just think they're bound to forever. Hello? It's hard for us to imagine that God loves the gays. Hello? Man, I love the way you're shouting. Isn't it? It's just hard to imagine that God loves them. Man, they love them as much as pastor. I can't believe that. How about another one? It's hard to believe that God loves and wants to forgive the women that had multiple abortions. Or an abortion. It's hard to believe that. Killing a baby. Well, let's really go deep, shall we? Are you prepared? He may never ever come back. It's hard to believe that God even loves those people that are in ISIS. Come on, how deep do we want to go? Or the Satanist? Or the Muslims? Let me ask you a question. In what box do you have God in as far as forgiveness is concerned? And love. So I'm going to tell you something. God's going to bring someone across your path that you may not even want to pray for, but you're going to. There may be someone that God is going to bring across your path that you've already condemned them to hell. That person will never get saved. Why not? Because we don't want them to? Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You see, friends, if we really want a revival in this church and Sisseton, we got to break down the fences.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't mean you have to participate in evil things. It doesn't even mean that you condone what they're doing. It means that you see what God can do in their life and you're ready to free them. You're ready to release them. You're ready to break the bondage. You're ready to set them free. Because that's the God we serve.
Yes.
And without Jesus Christ, they're eternally lost. We okay?
Yes, sir.
And God says they're going to, Jesus tells Saul that they're going to receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. They're going to receive an inheritance. Remember the parable of Jesus and the laborers going to the vineyard to work? How many remember that? Remember the first one came and he said, we're going to pay you so much. Second one came a couple hours later, I'm going to pay you so much. The third one came several hours later, I'm going to pay you so much. And every single one of them got the same payment. And the ones that worked all day and bore the heat of the day were upset. How many remember that? Are you prepared for someone who gets saved on their deathbed? For someone who lived for the devil all their life and before they die, they accept Christ and they receive the same crown of righteousness that we do? Somebody said, well, somebody will get killed on their, die on their deathbed. They can't be saved. Who said so? You mean God's grace is shut off just before you die? Come on. This is an amazing gospel that we live in. It's amazing God that we serve. He doesn't overlook anybody's sins. He just deals with it and releases them from it and sets them free, no matter if they have 1 minute, 1 second, or 100 years. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, Crystal, shout. And that's the way and the message and the love that he wants us to share. It's absolutely astounding. That's what we've been commissioned to do. You know something? And I'm done. I have to learn to set aside my personal opinions, my personal prejudices, my own ideas of someone, and see them through the eyes of God. Amen. And allow God to work and to minister and to touch and to change and to heal. Because that's who we are. You are conformed and made in the image of Christ. There are lepers out there without the leprosy of the Bible, but they are leprosy of sin. They're controlled by it. Their only hope of freedom is Christ. Only hope. And where does Christ live? In me. Where does he live, Matthew? Which one? Amen. You see, there are steps that we take together. There are steps that we just walk this thing out. But we need the foundation of Jesus Christ. We need the heart of love and compassion that he has. We need to realize that his grace is not dependent on what somebody's done. It's dependent on what he's done. And we walk that out. And we live it. Amen.